In England, bless it, everything works on a smaller scale. You are a gentleman, he said. When a man says that, he means he considers you his equal. I found this idea amusing, although I was careful to keep that from reaching my face. As a young man, I walked through the aftermath of the massacre of Meerut, my skin stained with walnut juice, and let not a single sight disturb the calm that carried me through crowds of rioting sepoys. Indeed, I said, a gentleman and a soldier. Oh, and a man of comfortable means. I was about to object, but saw his eyes slide across my loden coat, which was lined with green silk. So instead of objecting, I muttered something non-committal, quintessentially English. Oh, this is difficult, he said. Very delicate. At that point, I was meant to ask why it was difficult. He waited, and I waited some more. Very difficult, he added, as we turned back towards the press of people. I'll be blunt. You're a gentleman, and this is a dreadful accident. It is my best opinion that this man will die. I'm sure someone has already sent for the police. This I privately doubted, since the crowd was far too busy being shocked to do anything that useful. I can ease things, he said, and let the patient be moved to my surgery. I will undertake to treat him. But he will still die. Oh, yes, said the fat little man. Nothing I can do will stop that. He paused, with a manner of someone considering how far to risk his reputation. I can, however, delay slightly in announcing his death. I will mention complications, the poorness of his constitution, perhaps even suggest a certain unsoundness in his mode of life. A more deserving man would have lived. Oh, indeed. The little man nodded, delighted at my quickness of wit. There will be costs, he said, minor outlays. I can see the poor wretch's family on your behalf, maybe give his wife a few guineas towards a Christian burial and the keep of her children. My own fees will be modest. Raising my eyebrows, I waited. The sum he named would have bought a town in the Crimea. Oh, all in, he added hastily, as would include my fees, outlay for his widow, a burial. So such a tragic accident, he repeated, shaking his head. For one hideous moment, I feared the man was about to begin his spiel all over again, for we were nearing the crowd, and the last thing I wanted was to waste more time on fainting women and chickens' blood sponges. Let me examine the patient, I said. You, he said, sounding altogether less certain. Put me in the path of danger, and I will swear in the ripest Hindi. The man in front of me said his single word in an accent that spoke of education and birth. At times of great stress, we all revert to the accents of our childhood. It seemed he was a rogue from choice rather than necessity. Did I not mention I was a surgeon? Opening my coat further to reveal the gun beneath, I began to push my way through the crowd. Look at me, I demanded of the groaning man, and he opened his eyes with a great deal of fluttering and a dying fall of sobs, all the more convincing for being slight. Now, focus on my finger. I moved this digit and watched his eyes trail after, delayed by a single second, and inclined to roll back in his head. Mind you, good at acting or not, I could always use any man prepared to step in front of charging horses, catapult himself above a carriage, and dislocate his own leg on landing. Gripping that leg, I put my other hand to his knee and pulled, twisted, and pushed almost simultaneously. The wretch gave a hideous shriek, more from shock, I suspect, than anything else, and forgot to keep his eyes half-focused. See, I said, good as new. To make my point, I worked his knee as one might work the leg of a horse. In the crowd, someone began to clap. Those ribs, I added, how are they feeling? He cast his eyes behind me to the fat man who hovered anxiously at my shoulder. Whatever passed between them, the wretch now sprawled on the ground, sighed, his face already resigned. Better, he said. Let me. His ribs were fine, the sponge actually a bladder sewn into the side of his shirt and worked by pressure. Our man with a narrow face and darting eyes was so busy worrying that I might identify the object beneath my fingers that he entirely failed to notice when I lifted his